Today is the second Sunday of Easter. The scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 20, and the Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Today's message is titled, Tell the People the Full Message of This New Life. It is written in Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting. Believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray St. Jerome's prayer from the 4th century. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus is alive. After being crucified, dead, and buried, Jesus is alive. Jesus is most assuredly alive. Early in the day, the disciples had dashed to the empty tomb on the words of Mary. Still, what to make of it all, they kept the doors locked at the home that they were all gathered together in. Yet, locked doors cannot keep the Lord out. Wondrously, Jesus comes and stands amongst them, saying, "Peace be with you." Locked doors. And the Lord there, suddenly there? The risen Jesus Christ with scars from the nail wounds and spear wound. Truly there, alive. Flesh and bone. Just as the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending the disciples, sending them to preach what Jesus had taught them and proclaim forgiveness in his name. Forgiveness in Jesus. Missing was Thomas. And no words could be spoken, could convince Thomas that Jesus was alive. He needed proof. The physical proof presented to him in person by Jesus. Nothing less than Jesus and the scars would suffice to convince Thomas. Adamantly all week, can you picture this? Adamantly all week with pounding fists upon the table. I can see the expression of stubbornness, of disbelief in Thomas, even as the others thoroughly and lovingly plead with Thomas to believe. We have seen the Lord alive. Come on, Thomas. And Thomas' fists pound the table. I will not believe unless I. A week later, Thomas gets his moment. Though the doors were locked, Jesus the Lord comes in and is suddenly with them. Thomas, reach out your hand. Reach it out. Here, put your fingers. See my hands. Put your fingers here. See my hands. Thomas, reach out your hand. Put it in my side. As Jesus opens the side of his robe, Thomas, put your hand in my side. With tenderness and love, love beyond compare, Jesus says, stop doubting. Believe. Crushed. Thomas was crushed. So crushed, he cries out, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. To which Jesus then says, it's written in John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The disciples, they're being sent to tell the ones who have not seen. Being sent to tell the others about Jesus. That's why they were called in the first place. Called by Jesus with, follow me. 3+ years of, follow me, is now about to unfold in a manner that will take up the rest of their lives. The follow me is now proclaim me. Proclaim me, the crucified and risen one. Go, make disciples. For this group is being sent by Jesus, just as Jesus was sent. Now they are being sent. They spent those years together following Jesus, wandering with Jesus to learn, to see, and become. Become. As it's written, Jesus says, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They now become my witnesses. Witnesses. Witnesses of Jesus' healings. Witnesses of Jesus' teachings. Witnesses of the miracles. And now the means that others will come to know Jesus the Christ. Others come to know the forgiveness of sin. Come to know life everlasting in His name. Life everlasting as a child of God. Accompanying the words of the apostles were signs and wonders, as it's written, as we heard earlier today from Acts chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. All the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. They were afraid to join them because what would happen? You become a follower of Jesus, the follower of the way. You'd lose your job. You'd lose your home. You'd lose your family. If you're a widow, you'd lose your home. You'd lose all your support. What do you do? It's hard to follow Jesus, become one of them. But still, nevertheless, it's written there in Acts chapter 5, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. The signs, the wonders were drawing crowds to Jerusalem. They were bringing their sick and the tormented by evil spirits. And it's written in the scriptures, all of them were healed. Scripture says the people would fill the streets so that even Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Such was the attention and the commotion given to these disciples of Jesus. It infuriated the high priest and those around him. Infuriated him so much, something must be done. Forcefully, they seized the apostles and threw them in jail. Yet, during the night, God delivered the apostles. An angel of the Lord during the night opened the doors and brought the apostles out of prison. Acts chapter 5, thrown into jail. During the night, brought out of prison. Acts chapter 4, thrown into jail. Spent the whole night in jail. The next day, brought before the Sanhedrin, where Peter testified. Acts chapter 5, thrown in jail. Brought out of jail, a different purpose, a different happen. An angel of the Lord during the night opened the doors, brought the apostles out of prison. Wow, a mighty deliverance. Locked doors could not keep the apostles in. A deliverance by the living Lord God would take the center of my attention. That's being honest. As I've read through these books of Acts in the past, it's what has God done? The power of God. Let's talk about what the power of God does. The wonder of the angel of the Lord leading them out of jail, right past the guards, right through locked doors, such that when the full assembled Sanhedrin the next morning sent for the apostles with the intention to try them and more than likely condemn them to death, the jail was found securely locked. And the guards at their posts, but no one inside. The miracle of the deliverance drew my attention, and I missed the why of them being delivered out of jail in the middle of the night. Again, Acts chapter 4, they spent the night in jail so that the next morning they could testify before the Sanhedrin. Acts chapter 5, they're delivered from jail in the middle of the night for a purpose. I'll tell you in a moment. Later on in their life, Sometimes they'd be delivered from jail. Other times they would not. They would languish in jail and eventually be executed. But this time, Acts 5, they're delivered from jail. The miracle would draw my attention. Wow, look what God did. But why? Why did God deliver them this time from jail? The display of the Lord's power was for a purpose. And keep that in mind always. When the Lord displays His glory and power, it's for a purpose. When the Lord does signs and wonders, it's for a purpose. Just as John writes, and we heard earlier today too, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, and this is the purpose, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. These signs and wonders were done for a purpose, that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Purpose, believe. And have life in His name. Life in Jesus Christ. Yes, I missed that in Acts chapter 5. I missed the greater importance. I always focused on the wondrous deliverance. I didn't focus on the why, the purpose of the deliverance. Even though it was always there before my eyes. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. This time the words jumped off the page at the beginning of this week in a manner different from the other times I've read Acts chapter 5, read through these verses. They jumped off. Pay attention, Jeff, to the apostles. Why were they delivered from jail? The purpose is right there before your eyes. Read it and learn it. It's right there for all to read, all to see. Acts chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. As the apostles were safely in the street, delivered from the jail, safely in the street, outside of the jail, the angel of the Lord tells them what they're to do next. Not run away, not seek safety and shelter, not get as far away from Jerusalem as possible. No, no running away. Instead, head right back to where you were, where you were arrested the day before, that morning, whatever. Where were you arrested? Go back right there. Don't seek safety. Go right back to the temple courts and continue preaching. Continue teaching. Continue telling the people all about Jesus. Acts 5, verse 20. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. The Greek word order. The English words from the Greek word order. Go, and having stood, speak in the temple to the people all the words of the life this. Now we have to shift them to according to English grammar rules and all that. So shifting the words around, but from the Greek to be the English grammar way, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now did you notice the NIV translation added the word new and said, new life. Tell the people the full message of this new life. This really highlights to you all translations of the Bible are theological interpretations of what is written in the Greek. All translations are interpretations of what's written in the Greek. Translation involves interpretation. The word new is not in the Greek. But the meaning of the Greek does not preclude the word new. Does not preclude using that word new. For new does describe the life in Christ. For life in Christ is a new life. Just as it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. New life in Christ, it is yours. The apostles were to go and tell the people, go right to the temple. Go, that go and tell, that word has specific, I don't want to try even say that word this morning. Go specifically to the temple. That's what they're being told. Go specifically there. The command to go in the Greek, that word commanded that comes across as go in the Greek, it emphasizes the particular meaning attached to the destination. So there's purpose behind that word go. Go specifically to the temple. Not go and no, go to the temple. There's a meaning attached to that destination. Go to the temple, the center of Jewish worship life. And there at the temple, in the center of the Jewish worship life, is where the offerings and sacrifices are made to the Lord God. The offerings and sacrifices made to the Lord God. Go there and tell the people of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Are you getting the picture here? Go specifically to the temple where the sin offerings are offered, the lambs are sacrificed, all these offerings are made. Go there and tell the people about Jesus, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. It's written in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John, that's John the baptizer, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus paid the perfect price as the Lamb of God on the cross. All those sins and all those offerings and sacrifices being made at the temple, they're not life. They're now Jesus. It all now points to Jesus. Tell the people all the words of his life, of this life. All the words. Tell the people all the words. The Greek is panta ta ramata. Panta ta ramata. All the words. The Greek translated as words is ramata. So ramata, from the Greek to the English, is words. And ramata has a specific meaning in the New Testament when it is used. Ramada means spoken word made by the living voice. So as I'm speaking now, that's Ramada, spoken word by the living voice. The spoken word, with this spoken word, the way this word Ramada is used in the New Testament and also used in the Septuagint, this Greek word is used for the Lord speaking his dynamic living word into a believer to bring about the inbirth of faith. Speak the word so that faith is born in the person hearing the word. That's what they're told to do. Go to the temple and speak the word that will bring faith to the people who are hearing. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, the spoken word to bring about the inward persuasion. That's what the faith means, inward persuasion. That inward conviction, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As it's written in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from the hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. Go to the temple and speak the word, so faith will come by hearing. Speak the word. Jesus, the crucified and risen one, in whose name repentance and forgiveness will be preached. Go speak that word. It's written in Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 44. He, that is Jesus, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Go, speak all the words of life in the temple. Remember when Jesus said he is the bread of life, and unless you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, that's in John chapter 6, it's verse 53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. After these words, the greater portion of Jesus' disciples. After these words of Jesus, the greater portion of Jesus' disciples deserted him. They left Jesus. So Jesus turns to the 12. John chapter 6, starting at verse 67. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Acts chapter 5, Matthew Henry's concise commentary concerning our passage today in Acts chapter 5. He writes, there is no prison so dark, so strong, but God can visit his people in it. And if he pleases, fetch them out. Recovery from sickness, releases out of trouble are granted. Not that we may enjoy the comforts of life, but that God may be honored with the service of our life. It is not for the preachers of Christ's gospel to retire into corners as long as they can have any opportunity of preaching in the great congregation. They must preach to the lowest, whose souls are as precious to Christ as the souls of the greatest. Speak to all, for all are concerned. Speak as those who have resolved to stand to it, live it, and die by it. Speak all the words of this heavenly divine life in comparison with which the presently earthly life does not deserve the name. These words of life which the Holy Ghost put into your mouth, the words of the gospel, are the words of life, words whereby we may be saved. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are heading to the temple. And to a beggar, Peter says, Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he got up and walked. In the temple, Peter and John are teaching and proclaiming to the people, Jesus rose from the dead. They proclaim to the people, Jesus, in Jesus is the resurrection of the dead. So they were arrested and dragged away to jail overnight, and that's Acts chapter 4, and taken before the Sanhedrin in the morning in answer to the question, in whose name did you do the healing? Acts chapter 4, Peter replies, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, they weren't taken out overnight from the jail because they had to preach. They had to preach the next morning, and in that was these words: salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Forgiveness is found in no one else than Jesus Christ. Though the world would like to do away with sin, and the world would like to live and do as one desires and one pleases in life, a life really of self-gratification, that's what the world wants, self-gratification, and the emptiness and hollowness, the hollowness of that life that comes from degeneration and collapse of morals. Even those people seeking to self-gratify, they eventually cry out from the soul, is this all there is? For wired deep into the soul is a thirst for the holy, a thirst for righteousness, a hunger for the living God, with the deepest of longings to be truly loved through and through. All that self-gratification does not lead to being truly loved. And so emptiness and hollowness of life abounds. But that hunger to be truly loved through and through, it's a love that only the Lord God can offer and the Lord God can give. In other words, we were made for the life that only the Lord God can offer through Jesus Christ. We were made for that life offered through Jesus Christ. That deep longing for, there must be something more. That must be something beyond this mortal life. Eat, drink, and be merry, and then die. It just does not satisfy. It does not really truly love as we hunger for. It's not an answer to this life, this way of life. Eat, drink, and be merry. It just doesn't happen. Sadness, suffering, pain, they interrupt. They punctuate all of life. But there's that longing to be loved through and through. Do you have that longing? That longing, do you have that longing? Knowing there must be something more. You're right, there is more. Much, much more. And it's found only in Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. His tomb is empty. What that means, that these words of Jesus are true. John chapter 6, verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 6, verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus speaking the night he's betrayed, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Believe Jesus is the Christ, and have life in his name. And that longing for that love that's deep, deep down inside you will be there. And you will be loved beyond compare. Believe Jesus is the Christ. Have life in his name. Trade your sorrows. Trade your shame. Trade your sickness. Trade your pain for the joy of the Lord. Yes, joy of the Lord. Yes, joy, joy, joy. For eternal life is yours. And you are loved. Loved through and through by the living God. These are words of life. Not some esoteric mumbo-jumbo philosophical musings from someone's mind. No, these are real, concrete, rooted in the fullness of life itself. For these words are from Jesus, in whom is life. Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one, is life. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. And these words for you are life. They are life. These words of life are for you, not a promise of success. Really let this sink in. Not a promise of success. Not a promise of riches and blessings. Not a promise of no problems or no sufferings. None of that. These words are life. Life in Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Eternal life. Repent and believe. Forgiveness of sins will be yours. Salvation will be yours. Life everlasting will be yours. All will be yours. The love of the living God will be yours. And joy. Joy will overflow. The joy of Jesus. For Jesus is Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. So say yes. Say yes to the Lord. Say yes to this great joy of everlasting life. Say yes to salvation in Jesus Christ. Say yes to all of this. And you will be so loved through and through. That longing deep in your soul will be joy unspeakable. For you will know the Father loves you. You will know the Son loves you. The indwelling Holy Spirit in you will make it so real. Salvation is yours in Christ Jesus. You'll know it in your soul, and joy will be yours. For life everlasting is yours. In Christ, you will have life. Amen and amen.